Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the match ball for the Middlesbrough game from Oslot the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan, with me Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And it's brought to you by Levi Solicitors, who will give you 10% off your legal fees. If you mention the Square Ball when you inquire, head to levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. Right then, lads, that was all right, wasn't it? I mean, another 10 points. We've got 40 on the board now. 10 points and we're safe.
That's where we're going with it.
How many more points do Borough need to be safe?
More than us.
More than they're going to get.
Yes, they're not in a good shape, are they?
Well, the league table, as we established,
is laying. The final score is a leer.
Well, the wider context of this is, of course,
that Borough are shit.
That's true. Apart from that,
they are laughable.
I was going to say
they're hilarious.
I was going to say, you know, like some weeks ago, we looked at the fixtures in November and said we should get through November with five victories, and we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Played 5, won 5, 11 goals scored, 2 against, 15 points you get for that.
I like that.
That's all right, isn't it? So let's talk about today then, and it all kicked off nice and early. We did all the things, actually, that we've kind of spoken about on the podcast over the last few weeks, which was scoring early, Bamford actually scoring, and twatting it a bit, rather than pissing about. Twat it, so
I didn't like this goal because I was not in the stadium for it, which was a shame because I'd been putting some magazines in my
car. Did you hear the roar go up as you were?
Yes, I was just sort of through the ground side of the Lowfields tunnel and the shout went up and thought, well, that's good, but it's quite annoying.
One of the greatest goals I have ever seen in my life.
I mean, I have seen a replay since.
To see it. No, it was good. It was all about this one. I think it was about the ex-Borough lads really wanting to kick it to Borough. I saw you on the Square Ball account retweeting a Borough conversation, some fans going, did Bamford celebrate? Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did celebrate because he really, really wanted to score. It started with Harrison, nice feet, swapping it between his feet, and I thought that was good, and getting in, and the cross was decent, and good header, and yeah, their keeper is shit. Ainsley Pears.
He's not their first choice, is he?
No. Probably not his parents' first choice as well, judging by the way he plays. And he couldn't hold the ball because, you know, it's the first minute of a match or the second minute, so why would he? And was it, who put the ball back in? It was Pablo, chipped it to the back post, and you could tell Bamford coming in on it was like, I really, 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 really want to score this goal. Headed it really hard, and it went in. And he was very happy, and I was very happy. And their goalkeeper, this 21-year-old kid from Durham, who's previously played for Gateshead and Darlington, didn't BPS from Darlington, isn't he? The North East, not a hotbed for goalkeepers, it seems. And it was 1-0, and that was a really good start. But yeah, it felt very much like the Middlesbrough guys being, let's do this.
About the first thing I did see when I got in the ground was Luke Ayling nearly scoring as well, which I think had it been on his right foot, he probably would have scored. It was part of their policy of not stopping shots from the edge of the box.
Policy.
It seemed very much like, this season quite often we've had teams who are willing to sit back and let us have the ball in our own half, and like Reading did it. They were, you know, they were more or less saying, look, once you're in our half, we're going to get all the men behind the ball. Borough seems to have a policy of defending only the 6-yard box. Anything on the edge, by all means, have a, if you see that top corner, Do you think you can hit it? Oh, you can.
To be fair, we could have had several goals early doors, couldn't we? I mean, we could have been about 4-0 up inside that first spell.
They're shit. They were really shit. Like, yeah. Everything we'd said before the game about us potentially having a big win against them just came true. And I think that particularly by the time the second half got underway, they'd given up. It reminded me of the Stoke game where they were all right for a point, up to a point, and then we took the lead and we're like,
heads dropped.
We fucked this. There's no way we're getting back in.
After the first goal, I looked at Woodgate to see what he was doing. And he's doing this very kind of, he's like doing a keep calm thing with his hands, just keep calm. It's like no other instructions. It's almost as if he didn't want them to see it. It's like doing like disguise, just his little hand by the side, just going, keep calm.
This is all part of the plan.
It's all part of the plan. Just on that goalkeeper, Ainsley Pearce is the son of Stephen Pearce, who played 327 games for Middlesbrough between 85 and 95.
A pair of pairs.
And then became a goalkeeping coach at the Middlesbrough Academy, where he helped through the likes of Ross Turnbull.
Leeds United's Ross Turnbull.
We finished him. If you remember, he's not played since
Champions League winner.
Yes, he was with Chelsea. He came to us from. He was on loan from. Oh no, we actually signed the bugger. Anyway, that's where he's come from.
I mean, I'll be honest. It doesn't feel like a day where we should be talking about Ross Turnbull as much as we are.
It's very difficult to put this game into any sort of context, because you just look at it and you think, wow, Middlesbrough are bad.
Yeah. I mean, they are. You're right.
It's my overriding thought. Like, I've now replaced Don't You Know Pump It Up as my favourite song with Fucking Useless, which was inspired.
And as was that Leeds or Borough fans singing it?
It was the South Stand singing it at Borough.
Okay. They might have joined in.
No, I think to the last they were like, no, we're going to win this. Ashley Fletcher's going to score.
What is the point of Ashley Fletcher?
I don't know. He got a big handshake from everybody. On like Robbie Keane went up to him and Woodgate gave him a handshake, and while the coaches off gave him a hug. As if you've been brilliant out there, son.
Because he's one of those players who's been around for about five or six years. He seems to have been talked about as being a good player, and he must be in his mid-20s now, and there's no sign of him actually being a good player.
No, and we were 10 minutes into that game when Kiko Kassia did a Cruyff turn around him in the on our goal line. So
can we trust footballers called Ashley? Is there any history of any of them being good? Barnes?
Ashley Barnes is a good player, but he didn't want to, well, GFH didn't believe
Ashley Cole was
him,
fairly good.
I'm not having it.
Ashley Ward? It was a crew, and didn't he get to the Premier League with Norwich or something?
Might have done.
What's your problem with footballers called Ashley?
I don't know. They just feel like a bit generic.
But I was watching the Borough bench, and there was not a lot going on. I was trying to think how Robbie Keane goes off on international duty, and like Mick's asking him how it's gone, and he's just like, Woody, I haven't got a fucking clue, man, Mick. And like, somebody's, you've got to go over there and help him, man. I'm doing my best. But, and Mick McCarthy must be looking at him going, Jesus, if you're this good, do I really want you as my assistant? Gee, it's not a happy land.
When your fans are kind of clamouring for Tony Pulis, you know, the halcyon days of Tony Pulis, then you know you're in a bad way.
But the after team looked like, but Johnny Howson playing right back was like, God, I wish I was back in midfield where I just had to watch the ball go over my head.
He was right wing back, in fairness. I think they were playing wing backs.
How often did he get forward?
Well, yeah, it was hard to tell.
But you know what you were talking about when their heads dropped? I don't think
in the third minute.
In the past, when we've struggled and been involved in these battles, that, you know, like, we could never quite identify that the team was beaten. But when you see the other teams doing it, you kind of realise, like you say, Stoke had that doomed air about them. So did Borough today.
You remember there's that famous tale about in Parliament, I think it's when John Major was made Prime Minister, and he stood up, he was about to make his first speech to the House, and somebody from the back benches, just as he was about to open his mouth, just went, resign! That's how I felt about Johnny Woodgate. That's like just coming out of the tunnel, somebody should just go, resign, go back.
Well, if you caught our podcast with Phil Hay towards the back end of last week, he was saying that it kind of had the potential to be like it was today, a big win. Leeds fans singing for Johnny Woodgate, and it came to be as well.
Yeah, it was. And Bielsa had a nice conversation with him at the end, went over and I watched
did
that.
Did he ruffle his hair? I didn't see this.
It was close. He kind of put his arm on his shoulder and he was pointing at the pitch. He was shaking his hand as if to say, no, that shouldn't have been 4-0. Mm. No, that, you know, they did. You did very well.
Well done, sport.
Did not 4-0. And Woodgate said,
nice effort, champ.
Woodgate said that what was said will remain private, but he said he's a very good manager, he's a nice man. But you know it's bad because it reminded me of when Bielsa in pre-season, we played Guiseley and he went to their manager and he was all cock-a-hoop because Bielsa had said, what league do you play in? Really? As low as... Well, you must be getting promoted this year. I thought you were marvellous. Absolute stone-cold liar is Marcelo Bielsa. He's got absolute no morals at all.
I think he just feels bad for absolutely everybody and he thinks everything's his fault.
Yeah, he's probably... I'm going to resign.
Racked by guilt for thumping him 4-0.
If we get out of this studio and we find out that Bielsa has resigned because of he's upset Johnny Woodgate too much, the human cost.
I think that's why he made the subs. It was like in a kids game where you sort of take, you got the good lead on, just bring some of the shit lads on at the end. And Ketty's probably got a half twisted bollock and he's like, oh, you can just have a little run. I know you still can't properly move, but you can have a go against them. We've softened them up.
Brilliant. Yeah, so let's go through these goals then. You got Bamford with the early tap in.
Go a bit shit in the first half, didn't it? I think what happened in the first half was we sort of slowed it down. Well, we realised we'd won. And you know that we're now in the mode where we're like...
After 3 minutes, it was game over.
We were the ref, Keith Stroud, was wandering over...
Friend of the podcast,
was oinking at Kiko to hurry up the match. And I think we did... We just got a little bit... I think maybe we didn't prepare for how bad Middlesbrough were, so we're finding it quite difficult to keep the ball against them. So it went quite scrappy. Just before half time, when you think Woody's probably got his half time team talk all worked out, he knows what he's going to tell him. Because we made it 2-0.
We did make it 2-0. So, and I think you knew at that point, with us scoring so late in that half, that killed them dead, didn't it? It changes the half time team talk.
Probably didn't, actually. That's possibly part of the problem. Probably went, still only a goal down. I've prepared this now.
Yeah. Whoever scores the next one, it's one of that 2-0's a dangerous score. Whoever scores the next one.
Well, you know Woody can't think quickly. He's not gonna have time to really change his mind about what's gonna go in there and say, I'm just gonna go with the same thing, Robbie. It's gonna tell him to keep it tight.
Where's he from?
Dunno. It's really bad. My dad's from Middlesbrough, so you'd think I'd know.
Revelation on the podcast. And then into the second half, and we've been talking about Costa ramping up over the last few weeks. It's nice to see him taking these steps forward as well, and that was a nice finish.
The finish was brilliant. Like, I have absolutely no problems with him smacking the ball into the net from whatever he was, like 22 yards. But
my coaching tips coming in.
Just refresh, for anybody who's not heard your coaching tips, what's the sort of general thrust of it?
When you've got the ball at your feet, pull your foot back, then move it forward really quickly, kicking the ball high and hard into the goal.
Is there anything more to it than that, or is that just
right. Kicking the ball?
Could you maybe go up to Middlesbrough's training ground this week and give them a sort tackling out for them? Because there were two of them tackled him, but they missed that crucial thing that when you tackle a player, you're supposed to get the ball, not just let him keep it and go to the other side of you. Because there were two tackles, and it was some of the softest shit I've ever seen in my life. Mm. Like it was very good. Like Helder was really good today. Took people on. As we were saying about the Reading match, that he's getting the ball out wide, and because he's not got the game that he liked at Wolves, where he's put in and he races away from the last man, he's sizing people up and basically running at them really fast, and so they go, oh, fucking hell, and then going round. But I think that's basically what happened. He just started running towards these two defenders in the middle of the box, and shit, and they tried to tackle him and didn't, and then he just still had the ball at his feet, and it was like you could almost see the decision. He was like, nobody's going to tell me, I may as well just fucking hit this. And so he did, really hard in the back of the net.
And to be fair, he's listened to your coaching there, Michael, and he's taken every word of it, and he's applied it. So good on him for...
Yeah, it's all you need to do. It was lacking for weeks with someone just kicking it in the net.
And I think at this point, somebody on the lead staff must have felt really bad for Johnny Woodgate, because on the big screen where they showed the replay, they showed a replay of Stuart Dallas, same sort of position, but putting the ball over the bar. It's like, no, it's all right. Robbie's probably going, look there, it's fine. Just don't forget what you saw on the pitch.
Woodgate telling the telly. Him next goal wins.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's all right. Still tune in. Seen it on the telly.
And Click gets his second of the game. Well, if he gets credited with the first one because it was heavy deflection, but that no deflection on that fourth goal.
Was the cross deflected as well?
No, I think it was a short corner routine, wasn't it?
No, I mean for his first one. It looked like it was a really nice ball from Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
But then I think Bamford's attempt to pull it across was deflected as well.
Was it?
Yeah, I think the way I saw it, Bamford, he didn't really know what to do, so he sort of just added like a bit of a, I'll just kick it into the penalty area.
You can never say anything nice about him, can you? No, set him up for this.
He made a very good decision on the percentages. He decided, right, I'll kick it into the penalty area and I'm sure it got deflection.
It's that run that we've been pointing out that Click has been making all season and now they're finally passing it back to him.
Well, he didn't pass it, he just booted it in
it was a clinical
direction.
It was a clinical pass executed in the style that Michael would be pleased with.
It was a good finish by Click, actually, because he sorted his feet out.
It's a corner routine. A corner routine, everybody.
Which goal are we talking about now?
The last one.
We're still talking about the second one.
I'd moved on. Get with the times.
All right, so the second one was sorted his feet out, close range, difficult, defenders closing in before you realise that they're not going to do anything, scored. The corner routine, yes, very good. Short corners, Bielsa is wisecracking with
the media.
With the media telling them that, oh, he took your recommendation. I think there is a certain thing where now we can be like, you see short corners every time. Problem is, other teams might try to stop us doing that because it was Calvin to Pablo to Calvin to Click, and there were some Middlesbrough players on the pitch, but they just watched.
Yeah, no one closed in. But I'd have been absolutely furious if we'd conceded that goal because there was a bank of about four players in front of him just watching it.
Yeah, because when it came to Click for that shot, it's like, it's not like nobody knows he can shoot.
Yeah. And in fairness, most professional footballers, given loads of time and space, can put a ball pretty much where they want it to go. I mean, maybe Adam Forshaw, with his scoring record, he may have struggled. But even, but you know,
I think he'd have had a go.
They can kick a ball like pretty much where they want to kick it if they've got the time to do it. It's if you watch them warm up before a game, they make it look really easy. And that was essentially what they did. They went, there you go. Top corner, is it? Yep, lovely stuff.
His dad played 300 games.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And just returning to that Click goal, the fourth goal, the keeper didn't even move for it, which was beautiful. Didn't put a pair of hands on it, did he?
I don't know, he just reminds you of Bailey, doesn't he? So there's northeastern keeper not diving for a goal. Who does that remind you of?
Well, we've spent sort of quarter of an hour there just laughing at Middlesbrough.
Can I do some more? Because one thing I know, I was looking at Woody to see what he was enjoying, and there was one moment in the second half when in our left-back position, Ashley Fletcher just dragged down Jack Harrison for no reason, and Woodgate, he acted as if it was the best thing he'd ever seen. And I don't think he saw him, so he was like, brilliant, dragged him down, free kick to Leeds, that's what we want in there, next to their corner flag. Come on, we'll win this.
Is there anything we can actually do in terms of analysing the game?
Play them every week, we're fine, we'll be champions.
It'd be boring though. I was saying in the car, like, that was lovely today, just having a nice, during the game I was thinking, when did we last win 5-0? And I actually couldn't remember.
No.
But just a lovely 4-0 win. We were never in any real danger. Did they have a single shot? There was a free kick they had towards the end, and I think it was the first save Kiko had to make.
There were a couple of little mixy mix-ups at the back where we kind of... there was just nothing, no reason to concentrate. So I think we kind of... There were a couple of lapses. But no, I mean, they didn't create anything as far as I'm aware. But
yeah, it'd be boring if it was that every week. Just... Because you'd have won the league by, you know, March, wouldn't you? And there's nothing to watch anymore, nothing to be excited about. But most teams are better than Middlesbrough.
Well, there's 19 at least, and
it's lying.
Well, it was 16 shots we had with 10 on target. Obviously, scored 4. They had 7 shots in total, but only 1 on target with 30% possession.
I mean, that 7 sounds optimistic. I'd like some evidence, please.
Kiko today was back to his best, I felt, as well. With some of his playing out from the back. There were a couple of times when he had an extra touch as well where he didn't actually take it past anyone, but he was just like...
There was that one quite...
I'm happy to let him press.
Sorry for talking over you. I was going to say it was quite early in the first half where they were... Because they were pressing us quite high, weren't they? But just not very well. Mm-hmm. But a couple of moments where one of them nearly caught Kiko and he just turned it inside on his from his right foot to his left, and you kind of... drew in breath through your teeth, thinking, no.
But then he did it 3 times more. There was some of the stuff we were doing today was bordering on piss take. There was a move down the left when I think Stuart Dallas passed it to Pablo, and he kind of lobbed it on the volley to click, tried to play the like amazing one-touch volley through ball over the top of the defender and just kind of booted it in the corner. Stuart Dallas was like, can we maybe just... Let's not start playing where the floor is lava and we've got to try and score by not letting the ball touch the floor. This is still actually a championship
and volleys.
Football match. I mean, there was right at the end when Pablo just flicked the ball backwards over his head and the markers in front of the dugouts and then drilled a pass perfectly across the pitch into Harrison's path that the defender just managed. I had enough pace to get there as well, but it's like, stop it. Actually, no, don't stop it, because this is hilarious.
Is there anything genuinely to take out of this game besides Burrow are really, really shit?
Confidence and enjoyment. It's about time we smacked somebody 4-0, and it's about time we had a game where the second half was just how many were we going to score. I think if we could arrange for Pat Bamford to play against teams he doesn't like every week, I think we'd just get an extra oomph out of him. Positives, Berardi, although it's always lovely to see Berardi, and Nketiah back on the pitch, although I don't think he touched the ball. We were passing the ball around and never really got in touch with him. But
I was a bit disappointed with
when you said touch the ball then about Nketiah, my eyes watered for a second.
I was going to say, I was checking to see his running style, whether there's any Kikoing of the legs going on.
Is it still there?
Yeah, Berardi, I thought, let us down. I was hoping he would go on and purely to destroy Ayala. I was hoping he'd been sent on with a mission.
I very much enjoyed Calvin Phillips' yellow card in that first half, but halfway through the first half when he slid right across.
I was a bit worried that might be a red.
It came close, didn't it?
Yeah, he's done a couple this season where he's been close.
He's suspended now for Huddersfield at the weekend, and talk of Ben White being pushed into midfield because we can play anyone anywhere.
That happened today. That's why Berardi came on, because Bielsa just decided we'll treat this as a little extra 15-minute training session. So Ben White moved into midfield, looked a bit confused.
Do what you do over there, Ben, just a bit further forward.
Yeah, he was looking around him when he first moved as if he'd never seen this part of the pitch before. Like, right, I'm playing midfield now, so I'm standing in the middle. That's me.
Adding another 10 million onto his value.
Well, this is it. Brighton are going to have a fucking hell of a player if we keep improving him this much. It should be... I know we couldn't arrange in the loan contract, we couldn't arrange like a buy it now price or to keep him at the end of the season, but there should be some kind of... we should get like a percentage of the sell-on fee. If we improve him by X amount, we should get a cut of that, whoever they then eventually sell him to.
We're going up and we're keeping him. Fact.
And if we do, then we should just pay what he was worth last year.
Yeah.
That should be part of the deal.
I mean, we've got 40 points now, and in all seriousness, that's not far off playoffs. You know, another 10 wins for the rest of the season, and we're guaranteed playoffs pretty much, which is wild.
We don't want the playoffs, though, do we?
No, hell
Let's
no.
Face it.
I'm having nothing to do with the playoffs this year at all. But there's that nice gap opening up now, sort of 5 points between us, and is it Fulham in third?
They've got a game in hand. These games in hand, I'm not happy with these, to be honest. I think...
Fulham haven't. It's Forest have got a game in hand.
West Brom have got one, though, haven't they? Yeah, I'd like to write to the league and suggest they just cancel their games in hand. It seems unfair that they're able to catch
us. I'm not bothered about West Brom. For all I care, West Brom and us can pull away and squabble over who wins it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't care.
When it comes to January, play out the Italian draw as well. Just do that. Don't put any effort in.
Well, say we're doing it, but then last minute.
Dun, dun, dun.
We'll have to give that fair play award back. Very sorry.
We've conspired to fix a match. But apart from that, so yeah, other good stuff today. Then let's talk about heroes and villains, which is one of the things we like to do on the main podcast. Your early candidates. I mean, Woodgate, you've got to put him down as a hero.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Johnny. Although he didn't wave. There was big chance for him to...
No, he's addressed it. He's addressed it since. In his post-match, yeah, he said that it was lovely to... Because he's been suckered in by having his name sung as well and just rolled over for us.
Yeah.
And he said it was lovely, but he couldn't... With them 3-0 down, he couldn't wave.
I must admit, when he was doing it, I was thinking, don't wave, Johnny. Yeah. It's a trap.
What?
You wave, people. You're going to upset your own supporters an awful lot here.
In that case, what's Johnny Helson's excuse? Because they were singing Johnny, give us a wave after that, and he wouldn't either.
Give him the job. If you want another Leeds lad called Johnny, you've got one there.
Right, it'll probably go in right. First team meeting. I'm not playing right back anymore. I'm playing midfield. Who here plays right back? Says, well, I've been a right back since I was 12. Right, you're playing right back from now on. We have to undo. Ainsley Pears, I'm really sorry. Do you know any goalkeepers? Well, my dad was all right. Get him down here.
Put him at right back.
Where's Ross Turnbull now? No, it's going to be square pegs in square holes for once Johnny Howson takes over. Absolutely fine.
Heroes and villains, talk to me.
I thought Harrison was very good. I like what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is everything, really. He's just everything on the left. That's his job.
And then Stuart Dallas does everything else.
Yes.
I really enjoyed Dallas again today. There was one moment when Liam Cooper had followed his man all the way into the other half. So he was touch tight on him and looked like he was about to be beaten, and the ball did go over. And I saw Stuart Dallas just suddenly, like Roadrunner, come zooming in behind him. Just nick the ball. It's fine. Just put it out for throw and sorted that out. No problem. But his starting position was about 60 yards away. But I was like, I see danger. I'll go and deal with this.
What about Cleek?
Yeah, two goals. That every game.
Yeah, he was a bit... In the first half, he was probably one of them who seemed guilty of going off it, so we weren't... That's probably why it wasn't 8-0. Not him alone, but just the whole kind of slow pace after we went 1-0 up. But he did look a lot better after his goals, and I enjoyed... Maybe it's what it means to him, because after he scored his second one, I know it's Luke Ayling, did drag him to the floor and give it a whole... Everybody's glad that Click has scored pylon kind of thing. So it could be that it's been bothering the poor guy. He's, you know, he's very thoughtful. Wears glasses.
He does look interesting, doesn't he?
He always looks like, yeah, he's got a little book of Polish poetry tucked in his back pocket.
And villains.
It's generally a rap album, though.
Villains.
Brentford.
For stealing our thunder.
Yeah, how dare they score seven.
Imagine how furious that Luton commentator was today.
They've not deserved this.
Yeah. Seven lucky bounces, seven trips, seven fouls.
Unsportsmanlike. If Kiko can be booked for booting a ball out of a stadium, what about booting a ball into a net seven times? That's not gentlemanly conduct, is it? They should have called it off at 5-0.
Yeah. Out of courtesy.
I'm nominating Bamford as well.
For which?
If he'd scored a hat trick, we would have had six, and he didn't, so.
No, okay, fair enough.
I wanted more from him. I was being a dick. I thought he was brilliant today, but
he was very good.
It would have been nice if he'd got that, if he'd scored a few more just to give it, so he could do his flappy hands at the Borough fans and all.
Villains,
that.
Leeds United for not scoring more.
Yeah. Well, we had a big opportunity here. Middlesbrough were rubbish and we only scored four. We only scored the chances that we were given as well. There were really easy ones.
Have you seen
some harder goals?
The XG for today, by the way, 1.27 for Leeds against 0.43. for Middlesbrough.
Again, you see, this is calculated. Like, Click's chance was difficult because it's assumed it's against a team who were trying to defend. or can defend.
Yeah, from that position on the pitch, it's normally hard to score, but that's normally because the defenders there are trying to get in the way of it.
Yeah.
But instead they went, see that corner? I bet you can't put it in there. Oh, yeah, oh, you can.
Costa's, like, that position, you'd assume defenders are going to be flying across to try and block it and not just... Oh, you do that corner and then later on we'll see if Clicky can hit that one. So are we nominating XG as a villain?
Yeah, the concept of XG.
Ayala as a villain, just because...
Yeah, standard.
There's rarely been a man I've less enjoyed watching. I think him and Keogh as a centre-back pairing would be like the worst. I mean, Keogh now probably wouldn't have made that team any worse, to be fair.
Well, it'd be a phenomenal neck, though.
He's all neck, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think without... Because he's a very tall man, but I think with a normal human-sized neck, I think he'd be about 5'8". Very, very. He could lose several vertebrae and still look normal.
How do you splice giraffe DNA into the human genome? I don't understand.
I'd like to nominate as a hero Gianni Alioski. He didn't do anything when he came on, apart from straight after he came on, waiting for the game to restart. He was just wittering at Johnny Howson for a good 2 minutes, and Johnny's just like looking at the pitch with his hand on his shoulders, but just witter.
Hey, you wish you were here. You wish you were here, Howson. Hey.
Which
What's wrong,
great.
Johnny? You've got nothing to say?
But how does Alioski know who Johnny Howson is? How's he got... do you think he maybe researches his opponents looking for their psychological weak points?
How can I wind up everybody on this pitch? Who are the people that I can pick on? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. And because he was straight on to Johnny. I had a lot to tell him.
Was there any sign of Robbie Keane today?
Yeah, he was standing next to Woodgate in his gilet.
Well, and what was his input into today? Was there any pointing, shouting?
Fuck all. I don't think...
Folded arms?
They had some old bloke with them as well. I don't know who it was, but he just didn't do fuck all as well. He saw the way they played.
Imagine
what he'd been doing all week.
Imagine how annoyed he'll be about Pat Bamford now. Not only has he turned down the Republic, scoring goals in the opening minutes.
Straight on the phone to Mick. Never is he playing for us.
How was he today? I don't want to talk about it.
did you get a scouting report? Is he worth another WhatsApp message?
Dog shite. He scored though, didn't he? No, he fucking didn't.
Any other sort of genuine heroes or villains that you want to chuck into the mix so we can bookmark them for later in the week?
I mean, Pel da Costa scoring, that's nice.
Yeah, and he was good. He played well. We were a team of... there won't be a bruise on them.
Do you think they'll even have to bother washing the kit?
You say Ben White, he always plays well. And
yeah, it's pointless.
They didn't have any chances. But I mean, the thing is, their Middlesbrough strike force, they paid £12 million for a Sombolonga and how much for Fletcher?
It's brilliant, isn't it? Like 7-9?
Like, loads of money.
And didn't Gary Monk sort that out, though? So.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Pep Clatet's least favourite former bay.
Mm. Mm. But yeah, they did not look like one of the most expensive strike forces in the league. They looked like they could have played for about another year and not
scored. But they're almost like the inverse Leeds. If you think about what Bielsa did with us, as Phil mentioned on the podcast, is like you would have quite happily taken most of this squad off to the abattoir, and then suddenly we came out against Stoke last season and looked amazing. He's kind of, Woodgate's done the same thing. He's taken a decent set of players
to the abattoir and then put them on a field.
Zero, but like completely devoid of any tactics.
Doesn't understand why a steak can't moo.
A bolt hole through his head.
Good. Play, moo. There's grass going.
I feel like we're heading towards Keith Stroud chat here as well. If we're discussing misdemeanors around animals.
One lovely thing about Britta Sombolonga is he was a serious injury doubt for this game, and they've played him. They've been dicked 4-0, and he's gone off about 10 minutes from the end with an injury. Because to be fair to Borough, apparently they have got like 6 first team players out, and he is one of them who they desperately needed to get on the pitch, and they fucked him.
At which point we will leave it. A very, very happy day in the history of Leeds United. Thanks to Levi Solicitors for supporting the podcast. We'll speak to you when we record later on in the week.
We're very gracious in victory, aren't we?
Don't you know, pump it up, the lights are going up.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.